May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Last night, in our study in Romans, we saw something I thought was really significant, and I want to kind of see that and then go another place with it. You have to realize that because of Adam's sin, we all sinned. It's what the churches always believe. It's what Romans 5:12 says, that we were in Adam. He was our representative. He was our vicarious human. And we were all in him, and he sinned, we sinned. And we're all born guilty of his sin and born now having his, we were born with his sinful nature. But when the second Adam came, we were all in Christ. He became our vicarious human. And the scripture says that through his one act of righteousness, we were all men were made righteous. And so Adam's response to God was a failed one. And all of humanity's response to God since Adam was a failed one. But Jesus came as second Adam, our vicarious man, and he became our human response to God. And it was the right one. It was the perfect one. This is what it says about Jesus. This is Galatians chapter 3. Verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. You either keep all the law or you're in trouble. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant. Yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, plural, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. What I'm saying is this. The law, human effort, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based only on law, it is no longer based on a promise. So in other words, it's based on human effort, human performance, instead of God's grace. But God has granted to Abraham by means of a promise. Why is the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions to show us our need for grace. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed should come, Jesus, to whom the promises had been made. So the promises were all made to Christ. That's really significant to understand. It's not God making promises to people because they've done it right or well enough or performed enough. The promises were made to Christ. God had already decided a long time ago our response would never be good enough. We could never perform enough. And so the promises were made to Jesus. So here's the thing I want you to see and see if it doesn't make a subtle difference in what you understood before. Actually, it ends up making a huge difference, but a subtle difference in your meaning. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 1. For as many as maybe the promises of God. And there's a bunch of them in the Bible. For as many as may be the promises of God in Christ, they are yes. So if you were thinking that all the promises of God are yours because they're you in Christ and they're yours, and they're, but if you mess up or don't get it quite right, you don't get to really... No, the promises are all to Christ. That's what it says in Galatians. The promises were made to Jesus. Now, get this down in your head. The promises were made to Jesus. And therefore, I don't have to perform to experience the promises he's given me. I mean, they're promises, but isn't there a hook to them that I have to perform, do it right? And the fact is, if I quite have gotten it wrong, I've messed up the promises. Haven't some of us believed that? Don't you get hit with that all the time? The promises were made to Christ. He doesn't need to do anything else to qualify for those promises. And the fact that you get to experience them has nothing to do with any qualifications about your life. For all the promises, for as many as may be the promises of God, in Him, they're yes. God says yes to every one of His promises He made to Jesus. And because I'm in Him, I'm now part of Him. Because He's now my life, they're mine. Has nothing to do with anything you've done, prayed enough, fasted enough, praised enough. It's believing the promises and experiencing the manifestation of them in your life is what changes us. How about the promise of holiness? Well, if I can be holy or holier, I can experience more promises. No, you can only be holy because of the promise. It says, Christ is my righteousness. He's been made unto us holiness. And because I'm in Him, I'm just called to believe. And the promise to Jesus about inferred holiness, about conveyed holiness, is now mine. Those promises were to the man, Christ Jesus, the one who's forever human, though God. And His humanity, I'm in union with His humanity. And therefore, the human Chuck, the human Donna, the human Craig, the human TC, and all the weaknesses of your humanity were now absorbed into His humanity. And every promise God's ever made, He made them to Him. And because in your weakness His strength is made perfect, they're yours. Because you're in Him. Because you're in union with Him. His vicarious humanity. I mean, maybe I'm saying something all of you already knew. Or I don't understand why you're not running around the room acting like a Pentecostal. Do you know where this puts all the pressure on? On God. Is He faithful or not? When He promised Jesus something, did He mean it or not? It takes all the pressure off of you. So what they asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works of God? Jesus said, believe. That's why it says it's without faith it's impossible to please God. That's why it says that which is not of faith is sin. Because God knew you couldn't do the other stuff. You couldn't deserve the promises. You couldn't earn them. You couldn't perform enough. Your response to God would never be good enough. Your faith would never be good enough. Your obedience would never be good enough. Your worship would never be good enough. Your love for people would never be good enough. But Jesus is. And because you're in him, all that's true about you. Thank you, Jesus. Your prayers will never be perfect enough. That's why we pray in his name. Your anointing will never be big enough. That's why we pray for people in his name. Because all the promises were made to him. And we get to enjoy the ride. Amen. Well, even if you don't get it, I do, and I'm running around on the inside. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.